This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
Bob is Bob Shorey, one of the MCSEs at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Bunch of guys on the and gals on the stream, and thank you for joining us on the phones as well. You know what? I was going to say talk about something else really quickly, but you're all here, so let's get to your calls. We're going to go to Ray in Springfield, who's got an answer for the Yahoo guy who has an issue trying to send an attachment via his browser within his phone. You there, Ray? Ray, you there?
Hello.
Hey, Ray. What's the answer to help the Yahoo guys trying to send email from a browser within his phone of a picture on his phone, then he can't find the send button?
That's a long question.
That's what he asked.
I know. What it might be is in Yahoo Mail, when you want to attach files to the email, they give you several browse buttons where you browse for the files you want, and you select files you want to attach.
Yep.
Once you've done that, you then have to press another button that says actually attach those selected files.
So it could be waiting for him.
Yeah, he may not. You won't be able to send until you actually press that attach button.
So even though you thought you attach it, okay, that makes sense.
Right. That might be what's happening to him.
Yep. Fair enough. He couldn't find the button to send it, so maybe the browser is saying, hey, well, you haven't fully done every step you need to do yet.
Right.
Yeah, fair enough. I appreciate you giving us that insight.
Well, I appreciate your program. You guys are a wealth of information and help. Thank you.
It's our pleasure. Thank you, Ray.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, let's go on to Joe in Berlin. Next, what's going on, Joe?
Hi. I've taken your advice and changed over to the Google Fi network, at least one of my phones.
Nice. I love mine.
My issue is not with the network itself, but it's the operating system on the phone. It's actually my wife's phone. It's a Pixel 2.
That's what I have.
And we've been so used to using Samsungs.
Okay.
For many, many years. So one thing is the mute play music. We download many books from the library onto our phones, and then we just listen to the books on the phones.
Sure.
Google wants us to pay an additional $5 a month, or depending which service we pick, so we can listen to music.
Wow.
And they do have, they do have a music player there, but it only plays one It takes all the book files and puts them in alphabetical order.
Mm-hmm.
And so after you listen to chapter one, you got to go scrolling through all these other different books to go to chapter three or chapter four.
Hmm.
Is there any alternative to this?
Well, most people that I know that do the books would use Audible.
But again, it's a monthly subscription.
It is. Okay. So
yep.
I, frankly, with my commute, I'm a news talk junkie. So okay. I don't stream anything on the phone as I'm driving because I don't want to pay for the data.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
So I haven't done with it much. I haven't done any kind of real book streaming much. I guess I'll throw that out to the listeners or maybe even folks on the Facebook stream. If they have any app suggestions for listening to audiobooks. How about the library itself? Have you asked them?
What they offer is so you can listen to it on your computer.
They don't have any apps to recommend, though, as librarians?
No.
Really?
No.
All right. They're usually pretty good.
I mean, there is an app, but again, it's only for your it only works on your computer, and we don't sit in front of our computers very
no,
much.
No.
Well,
that's a shame. I have to throw that out to the listeners. I don't use any real book on tape type of feature or program. I don't really have time for it. I'd like to,
okay.
But I don't. And I would let the listeners let us know. So if you guys are out there listening and you can help Joe with a free app that he can use to do audiobooks rather than pay a subscription, which is getting ridiculous, please go ahead and post it over at the WTIC Facebook page under the live broadcast that's happening right now, Computer Talk with Tab live broadcast, and we'll see if we can get you an answer, Joe.
I'd appreciate that. Also, just to let you know that after I took my wife's phone off of the AT&T network, and I still kept my other two phones on the AT&T network. They upped I get 4 gigabytes of data now as opposed to 1.
Yeah.
And they lowered
they hated
my
seeing
price.
You leave.
Well, and also I unlocked my phones.
Right.
And I thought they'd get mad at me, but they lowered, I'm down to, I think, under $100 a month now for the two phones, and
I get
4 gigabytes of data.
That's pretty cool. That's still too much. Like my bill right now with Google Fi is a whole $21 a month for my phone. My son comes to me yesterday and he goes, "Dad, I don't use any data." I'm like, "How much is your bill?" "Almost nothing." So, I mean, if the great thing about Google Fi is that it's a very low cost and you pay as you consume the data versus 4 gigabytes. If you need it while you're streaming, while you're mobile, fine. If you're a person that's going to have to stream it while you're mobile, I would contend most of us, though, use our phones while we're stationary within a Wi-Fi hotspot. So why pay a premium for the things you're doing on top of the fee? So you'd have to pay for your app. You know, you're listening to it on your phone, paying for the streaming. It, you know. $50 is still too much, I think.
The only problem is I have a landline and I have a special adapter from AT&T that so I can keep the same number. I need to keep a number for business purposes.
You could port it away. You could port it away. You could port it to UMA. You could port it elsewhere.
Okay. I'll
they don't own the number. Their number is portable.
Okay. I'll have to look into that I'm disgusted with it. Also, AT&T, just to let people know, if you're using texting with AT&T and you need to print that text out, you can print the messages you receive. You can't print the messages you send. So if you need a hard copy of your text messages, forget it. You can do screenshots, but the court doesn't like to see screenshots. They want to see dates and printouts and stuff like that. So I found that out the hard way. So, okay, thank you very much, gentlemen. Didn't want to take up all your time.
No, thanks, Joe. Maybe we'll get an answer for you.
I hope so. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Let's go on to Rich in Glastonbury. What's going on, Rich?
Yeah. Hi, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have two different questions. I noticed when I go to different websites, most of them now are asking if I would accept their cookies. And
oh, yeah.
I'm hesitant to do it because it could be some type of a tracking device. But
well, that's what a cookie is.
Yeah, but in the past it was just a few of the websites, and now it's most.
Right. Yeah. A law was passed. I couldn't tell you which one that says, "Look, you can't just do this without telling people you're putting cookies on their computers." So each website is nicely asking you whether or not you give it permission. And so if you like the website and you don't mind that they're doing it, say yes. If it's one you're going to frequent and you trust, you can say yes, or you can say no.
Now, what happens if I say no? Could I still use the website?
Yeah.
Okay. And why are
That's
they,
all it is.
Why did they want the cookies to track what I'm doing when I'm on their website?
Oh, not just that, Rich. Come on. You're not thinking deeply enough. You're not giving the possibilities are endless. So they can put cookies on there to actually track where you've been from prior websites. So they can say, okay, Rich went from Business Insider over to Fox News, over to CNN. The cookie can track all that. Oh, I see that he searched for how to take care of a turtle. I don't know. They just can track whatever they want to track. It's one of those things that you're accepting.
Okay. If I don't accept the cookies, though, could I still use the full website, or would I be restricted in what I could see?
I've never seen it restrict anything.
Okay. All right. Then why would anybody accept the cookies, then? Is there a reason for it?
It's a great question. Again, it depends on your comfort with the website and what it's doing for you. So I can't think of why there'd be a cookie on there that you'd want off the top of my head right now.
Okay.
But there are reasons you might.
Okay.
You know, maybe you're using a site that you'd appreciate it remembering what you did on that site for whatever reason. Maybe it's statistical reasons. Maybe it's some other kind of site. What do you got, Bob?
Well, the cookies might remember what you put in your shopping cart.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Okay. And the other question I have is, I notice that if I go to one site, say Ford Motor Company, and then I go to a different site, well, say for Chevy or a different car, the one for Ford keeps showing up on the Chevy. And these websites keep popping up that I looked for in the past, and it takes up about a quarter of my computer screen now. And I don't know how to stop that.
So you've got pop-ups happening that you need to clear out. I would go and run a product called Malwarebytes. Not that you have malware necessarily, but it'll probably help clean up any pop-ups.
Okay.
You could also consider using DuckDuckGo. As a more secure, more private way of searching for things.
Okay.
They're not going to send the information anywhere, and supposedly, and that way you won't have it show up in other sites. You know, Ford's not doing anything malicious. It's just showing an advertisement, right?
Well, it keeps showing up. It seems like what's happening, if I go to Ford or I go to Chevy or Still or any website, and I go to a different website, that Ford or other one keeps showing up on my computer screen. It takes up about a quarter of the screen.
Well, Ford wants you to buy their product. So when you go to Chevy, you know, they're kind of tracking you and they're saying, you know,
I don't know about
hey,
that.
You don't want that. You want to buy a Ford.
Are you saying the browser tab is executing on you?
Well, let's say that I went to Ford.
Yeah.
I closed out Ford. And now I go to Chevy. The Ford...
Right.
Would show up on a quarter of the screen. And
I know you said that, but that doesn't make sense unless it was an advertisement window.
It's their advertisements from their prior visit I had to their site.
Okay. So, but the thing is, Chevy shouldn't have an area that is actually showing you an advertisement to actually display it to you. So I don't understand that part of it. Normally, if you go to a news site, let's say, then all of a sudden you can see the Ford ad. But I can't imagine Chevy showing it to you because they're not interested in showing you Fords, right?
Well, it seems like what I looked at in the past, it keeps coming up whenever I go to a different site.
Right. So that's back to the whole DuckDuckGo comment that I made, and cookies and all that fun stuff. So if you use a service like DuckDuckGo, it won't display the stuff in those advertising areas.
Okay. Like the one that keeps coming up is eBay. And I bought some items on eBay, and that would show up no matter what site I went to. eBay shows up on the right side of the screen.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, it's part of the internet, all the fun of the internet, Rich.
Okay. Now, I have AOL. Is there anything I could do with them to have that stopped?
Oh, good luck. I would tell you to stop using AOL as fast as possible.
I've had them for like 20 years.
Oh, I know.
Long time.
Yeah. But no, I doubt they're going to be helpful at all.
Okay.
And you've probably still got mail.
I do have their mail, yeah. Yeah, I do.
You got mail. All right, Rich.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you for your help and
you're
enjoy
welcome.
Your show.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
And I want to let Joe from Berlin know that, who is that there? Sharon uses an app called Libby to listen to audiobooks from the library. It works great. So I assume Libby doesn't cost anything. So, Joe, I told you we'd find an answer for you, and Libby is the app you want to check out. We'll step out for a quick break here, I guess, and get back to more of your calls. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back, and that's our theme song for when you know, when you're the commodity. It's free, and you're the commodity. And, you know, the stranger in the black sedan invites you into the car there. They got candy and pictures, and of course it's free. All right, let's get back to more of your calls and comments and questions and concerns. And yes, it looks like the Libby app is free, which is great news. So let's see what's going on in Bristol and Mark. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, guys. Good morning. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, thank you. Hey, I have a PSA for you and your audience.
Uh-oh.
Samsung Blu-ray smart players. I have two of them, and I have one Sony smart Blu-ray player. And on June 17th, one of the Samsungs went into an infinite boot loop. You just couldn't turn it off. You had to unplug it. Plug it back in, it's stuck in that boot loop.
Mm.
So, as you guys probably would have as well, I took it apart quickly, see if there's anything obvious, nothing. So before I smashed it in the garbage can, I put it in the cupboard and closed the door. Figured it was a disposable player, the way the junk we have nowadays, and I'd eventually buy another one.
Yeah.
I'm glad I did that because the second one, and I didn't even think about anything other than something failed in the firmware. I went and turned on the other one about a week later. It was doing the exact same thing. They're identical units. So then I realized it's not just a coincidental failure hardware-wise.
No. It's a thing.
It's a thing, yeah. So you know what happens next. I contacted Samsung, and of course, you cannot get a person. So I got their intelligent chat line, which I thought was a computer, but I think it handed me off to a person.
Yeah.
And they said this was a bad update that's automatically downloaded.
Right.
And it's happening to Blu-ray players from Samsung all over the world. That's the way they put it. And I was just using the player number one as just a disc player. I didn't even care if it was on the internet, but now I can't even play a disc on it. So, but they did make everything better because the gentleman said in the chat, he apologizes for my inconvenience.
Oh, so is that nice of him?
Everything's fine now.
He apologized. We're so sorry we broke it.
Yep.
Yeah, so there's a PC Mag article about this. And I'll put the link up there for you. So this is the issue with firmware. Anytime a thing has software on the hardware, you run the risk of having this issue.
Right.
The other issue, though, is that Blu-ray players are notorious for not being able to play discs without updates. So what happens is the hardware is like, I don't know what this Blu-ray is. I need an update. And so it goes out. I think it has to do with the codec or something to deal with how to decipher the data that's on the Blu-ray.
Region. It's looking for the region code or something.
Well, region's one thing that could deal with any kind of piracy that's occurring.
Right.
But when I burn Blu-rays for even my family for of our home vacations, you know, different Blu-ray players can play them or they can't, and then sometimes they have to update it so they can handle the data on the disc. So, yep, Samsung has bricked their Blu-ray player, but you probably will get a way to fix that, I hope. Maybe new firmware that you can download.
That's what I was hoping, too. And I was talking to the chat guy, or I won't even call him a tech because I don't know if he was. In any event, the problem is you really can't fix it yourself with the USB stick because it only stays. In other words, if I took the unit now and plugged it in the wall, it would try and boot up. You would see, there's no light, but you would hear it, something turn on. You would hear the processor go out and find the drive and pulse the head, and then the screen would come on for about a second, and then it does it all over again. Mm-hmm. So it's not even, I don't believe it's even finding a USB port. I could be wrong. But the only way to fix it would be with a manual USB stick plugged right into the unit.
Yeah, because right.
It doesn't connect to the internet for a good 30 seconds after it powers up. So, I mean, they're basically useless to me. I've got a Sony that's still working, but have you guys ever had or heard in your business before, is there any recourse monetarily? Because it's only $200, not only, but...
Oh, I'm sure Blumenthal's working on this kind of thing right away. I mean, this is right up his alley. Oh, your Blu-ray player's not working, folks? I'll get right on it. No, I don't think there really is a recourse. It's probably past the warranty. The only thing you have to consider is be careful when you're updating firmwares. But again, Blu-ray players are notorious for needing it. I would tell you to sit tight, though. I mean, this information is all over the internet as far as this problem, and it's very embarrassing to a company like Samsung, so I suspect an update will come.
All right.
Oh, all right.
Okay, thanks, guys. Take care.
Thank you, Mark. I want to thank you guys so far for joining us. Two lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We're here until 11 o'clock. Everything we posted is over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. Thanks to Mike G. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. And all sorts of stuff happening on the old stream over here. People are posting things. One of the folks here on the stream is talking about his Bose speakers are constantly updating. And I would contend, why does a speaker need to update with firmware constantly? You connect via Bluetooth and you play stuff through it. You know, in the old days of speakers, we just used a couple of wires and plugged them in, and that was it. Your speakers would last you 30 years if you wanted them to. Now, Bose wants to update it and update it. It's one update away from bricking it. Same thing with your smart TVs, you know. That's why I don't even recommend using smart TVs. I recommend turning off any function of the smart TV, disconnecting the Wi-Fi piece of the smart TV, and buying a separate streaming device. That way, if the TV won't get bricked, you know, the device will do all your work. It has to be updated, not a problem, but at least the thing you paid to hang on a wall or what have you will always work as it just worked out of the box. I can't imagine what little tweak you're going to get with the firmware update of your TV unless you're using the smart functions. Then you're rolling the dice. But why does Samsung on their smart TV need to know what you're watching? I mean, I'm sure that's why they're doing the update, right? I would think. So, my advice to you is to get a streaming device that's going to plug into your TV or avoid smart TVs altogether. That way, you're not going to have any problem with it. Let's go to your calls, and let's go to Chris in Newington next. What's going on, Chris?
Got a little problem with my router here. I've got a Netgear C6300, and I'm getting a denial of service attack. It's what it's showing on my logs.
What? And, someone's attacking you specifically, Chris?
Looking at it, it says a DOS attack. Yeah.
So do you have a static IP?
I don't know, honestly.
Well, a denial of service attack is going to focus on your IP address. And if you don't know, then you don't. So if you would like the attack to stop, if that's truly what's happening, unplug your internet modem. Let it sit for, let's say, a few minutes, because you don't want it to get the same IP address, and plug it back in. Now you should get a new IP address so the bad guys can't bother you, unless what's happening is the denial of service is on a whole spectrum of IP addresses being offered to you by your internet provider. Does that make sense? That's what a denial of service is they're trying to, they're pinging you and hammering your IP address. The only other thing that could be happening is you've invited it. You have an app on your system that is inviting the actual discussion, as it were, to occur on your network, causing the Netgear to think you're having a denial of service attack. You can fix that with what? Open DNS. get on Open DNS, you'll be much safer. But I can't imagine why they'd pick on little old Chris in Newington.
I can't either. And this is where it's confusing to me because it makes no sense. I'm getting hit about once a minute, and then it's just, working from home drops my internet momentarily, and then it comes back. I don't understand it.
Have you called your internet provider?
I have not.
So they should detect it too. They're going to say, hey, you've got something going on, because they don't want the traffic to occur on their network. I would call them and say, hey, your router thinks you're being hit with a denial of service attack, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes, so that's what the log is showing. It makes little sense to me.
Okay. Well, you could call them and say, hey, this is what I'm seeing, and they might have an IP address block that is being hit by who knows where. So by getting a new IP address, your attack should end. The addresses are not really static when it comes to these cable services. They're sticky. You know, they'll sit there. You could get the same address for over and over again for a while. So that's when I say when you power off your modem, let it sit for a little bit so you're not getting that IP address again, hopefully.
Yeah, I did turn it off this morning.
Not the router.
For about a minute.
Not the router, the modem.
The whole thing. It's a combined router modem.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but hopefully you're going to get a new address. Now, you can run an IP address to see what you've got, IP config, right?
Yeah, you can go to ipchicken.com or someplace like that and see what your IP address is. And then you'll know after you do that whether you got a different IP.
Did you catch that, IP chicken?
IP chicken.
Yeah, geeks have all sorts of crazy words for things, but it helps us remember them. So IP chicken, it'll tell you what your public IP address is. So if you're, look at that. So if your address is out there being attacked, it'll tell you what your address is. And hopefully you'll not get that same address, and hopefully your attack will go away. But it could also be coming from you. So you have malware. You could be asking for the attack, which is not going to be good either. So we can't fix that other than having you run malware bites or something like that.
Did. Ran that yesterday. Ran that through. Cleaned up some stuff, but still, right now, I'm still getting it just on the phone with you.
Okay. So also, have you configured OpenDNS?
I did. But even when I go to the bad guy's site, whatever they say, it still says that I'm not protected. So I can't quite figure out why I'm not, even though I've loaded it to the computer.
Well, you don't necessarily load it. You got to configure it.
I've configured it.
On the router?
Yes, I believe
okay.
so.
Yep. That's the key. Is while you're messing around with this, Chris, go and see if you've configured the DNS IPs to be the open DNS IPs that are handed out to your devices from your router.
Okay.
All right. I mean, you could set your PC up to have a specific DNS, but if the router's handing it out, it's better.
Okay. I will give it a try.
All right. Good luck, Chris. I'm curious to find out what happens. Let us know. Definitely talk to your internet provider, because they are going to want to know, too, if they're being hit with something.
I will do that. Thank you.
You got it, sir.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye. All right. Let's go on to who's next here. Art in Wallingford's been on the longest. What's going on, Art?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
A year ago, I had to purchase a new PC, Dell Inspiron computer, through Best Buy. I accepted their package of installing the WebRoot antivirus software along with their year of tech support.
Hmm.
And I used my wife's credit card, the Best Buy card, and which was all right with me.
Sure.
A week ago, she received an email, and she told me this after the fact. She received an email that the package was up for a renewal,
mm-hmm.
so she declined it. So now mm-hmm. I have no tech support and canceled the web route.
Okay.
So I know you've covered the subject before as far as recommendations for antivirus software. Now, I know you in the past you've recommended WebRoot.
Yeah.
So I went online and I looked at McAfee and Norton and a couple of the other ones, Kaspersky and another one I can't remember.
Yep.
And they all say theirs is the best. Now, do you still recommend using the WebRoot? It's WebRoot Essentials everywhere, I think it is.
Yeah, we've had good luck with it. I mean, we try to recommend stuff that we use. So we have WebRoot on about 8,000 systems in our client base. So we're pretty comfortable that it's going to work pretty well. And it's affordable. It's cheap. Because, right. You know, a couple bucks a month. So we'd still recommend it. I tell you to stay away from Kaspersky. They're a Russian antivirus.
Yeah, right.
And it's not with a tinfoil hat that I say that. They are Russian. And if you want to run Russian antivirus, you can. But any of these things, and then, you know, there's someone on Facebook says that they're recommending a tool that's from an Eastern European country. You know, again, we have enough issues as it is, knowing what and who is writing the software that we're putting on our computers. And not that American software companies could be much better, but at least you know who you're dealing with. So I would tell
Correct.
You, I would tell you to do that at least with security. You stick with an American company until they get bought by some Chinese company.
Well, I had no issues with WebRoot. I mean, they're, you know, I run their software every day.
Yep.
And I come up with you know zero infections.
Right.
So due to the fact that my wife had canceled the total package WebRoot. And the tech support. WebRoot mm-hmm. is still working for me. Now, will I get a notification from WebRoot that it's going to be coming up for renewal?
I don't know. It all depends on how well the company, you know, the Best Buy folks manage their application, right? It'll either stop working or it'll be withdrawn from your computer, which could happen as well.
Sure.
I would just keep an eye on it, make sure it's still updating. If it is, you win. I wouldn't renew it until you had to.
Okay.
If it's updated.
Then I'm going to go with WebRoot again at that time.
Sounds good.
All right, gentlemen. I thank you for your info.
Our pleasure.
Okay.
Talk to you
take
soon.
Care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go on to Wallingford and Ed. What's going on, Ed?
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Hey, here's a good question for you. You probably haven't heard it in a long time.
Uh-huh.
Is there any type of value, collectible value, to an old Radio Shack TRS-80? I have two of them. They power up. They look beautiful or complete.
Yeah.
Any
I would tell you maybe eBay. If you put it on eBay, I guess.
Craigslist would be my guess.
Craigslist, yeah. So I would have any idea if there's any value.
No, I was just curious if, you know, being in the business, you've ever heard of people that collect this stuff.
You know, thankfully I haven't. I would think they're a little touched to collect old equipment like that. It's useless to look at it in a museum is, you know, maybe. Actually, I think we heard recently there was a computer museum out there, which I still find kind of funny. I don't know why it tickles me, but it kind of does. Like, who cares if you get an old machine over here? But that's just me.
Well, I got a idea. I'm going to just take them down to electronics recycling here in Wallingford and drop them off.
That's probably what you can do. And if there is any value, they'll see it and say, oh, trash 80s. I want to save those.
Yeah, we'll drop these things off. They're worth $1,000 a piece.
Yeah, you know, walk away and hopefully you don't hear that, you know?
Hey, quick, one other quick question. I want to get rid of the Comcast modem.
Yeah.
But being the dummy I am, modem and router, I don't have a router. I have a modem from Comcast. What do I need to buy to replace that?
Well, you need to go to your local big box store, whether it be Staples or Best Buy or what have you, and tell them you've got a Comcast service, and they'll point you to the Comcast modem.
Okay.
Then you go look at a router, and there's a Linksys router that we've linked on ComputerTalkWithTab.com, the one that I use.
Okay.
It's got a pretty good performance record in my home and a seal of approval from my kids after I replaced the other one that was in there. So it's got great reach, great power. It's a AC something. I never can remember the number, but the link is up there at Computer Talk with Tab on the Live Links area.
But if I you know, I don't have a router now, and is it built into the Comcast unit? Or?
Probably.
Oh, probably. Okay.
Yeah.
So I would have to buy a separate router then.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thanks for your help, and I appreciate it. I love your show.
Thanks, Ed.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, so I think we got to step out for a quick break, and we'll get back to more of your calls. Feel free to get online. We're here till 11 o'clock. Then Dr. Lessie will be in. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. And, of course, stick around for Garden Talk. Len and Lisa are back. So now that you know, we were able to get through the springtime, and now no rain's coming down, so all your stuff's dying. What are you going to do? Len and Lisa can't catch a break. But they'll be on with Garden Talk at noon, so stick around. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, and I want to thank you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. Real quick note that I did want to bring up, ProShow Gold. I've used it for 20 years at least. I don't know if I told this story or not. I can't remember. Bob couldn't remember. But tried to go update my one of my vacation movies, and all of a sudden it says it's illegal. Now I paid for that software, of course, and many updates over the years. ProShow Gold went out of business at the beginning of this year. And that's fine. I didn't care. It's too bad, but they went out of business. But now my software all of a sudden doesn't work. So, of course, I did the trick where I thought if I disconnected from the internet, it wouldn't, you know, have any issues. But nope. And, of course, their site links to the quote-unquote recommended successor program. And, of course, when I reached out to them, they said, oh, no, we had nothing to do with it. It must be ProShow's problem. But my point is, why is our software going out and reconfirming that you're legit? It says I'm registered, but yet when I try to create an actual show, it says the software is illegal and puts a big red square over the top of it, so it ruins any ability to produce a show. I paid for the software. I paid for everything involved with the software, and it says I'm registered, yet somehow I might be forced to buy the successor software. Same problem, right, guys? Same thing as the whole bricking of your firmware. Once you buy it, it should continue to work, period. We actually had a story a few months, maybe weeks back now, talking about the Samsung, I think it was Samsung refrigerators that are out there. I mean, just imagine if you buy this very expensive piece of appliance and it does a firmware update and all of a sudden your ice maker doesn't work or something else goes wrong. It's not improvement as far as I can tell. So just beware, if you cannot have the update occur for the thing you're using, that's like a speaker. Who cares? It's a speaker. Why does it need to be updated? You'll probably find that it'll last longer. And that's just a cynic in me. Let's go on to Nick in Enfield. What's going on, Nick?
Hi. I enjoy this show. It's always a learning experience.
Great.
I have an iPad that says, iPad is disabled. Connect to iTunes. So when I've checked, it says that I entered the password wrong too many times, but I didn't even enter it once that day. Is it cumulative over the life of this thing, or is it on any one occasion?
It should be only on the occasion. It shouldn't be cumulative. I mean, that's awful. What type of iPad is it? iPad what?
I have no idea. I've had it over 8 years.
Oh, it's an old one.
It's an old one, yeah.
Gotcha. So they're saying to you, go get a new one.
That's what I was thinking, and
yeah.
I read some ways of undisabling it, if I can use that word, and it won't go too far with a PC. I tried it with an Apple desktop, and I had a roadblock too. So I called the geniuses.
Yeah, at the fruit stand.
I'm sorry.
At the fruit stand.
Yeah. Yep. And along with a bag of apples, they said, go to one of the big box stores.
Jeez. It looks like you're going to have to factory default it if it offers you that ability, because it looks like you can do that, but we would have to find a specific answer for you. Oh, Bob might have found one for you. You got one, Bob?
Yeah.
We'll put a link up here for you, Nick, for you to try and see if it works, but it's probably going to default it.
Okay. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, sir. If it doesn't work, then you're going to have to decide whether or not you want to go with another one if it was a forced obsolescence, but I apologize if it was.
Okay, thank you. I'm sure you didn't have anything to do with it, but thanks for the apology.
I'm apologizing for the state of the IT world.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Good luck, Nick. Thanks.
Thank you.
I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. I want to thank Mike G for posting everything live. I want to thank Matt back at the studio in Farmington.
See you next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.